Welcome to Local Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Rochester Business Connections Network. Local Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts from the region, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other leaders in the community, other voices in the community. Today, we listen to an episode of the Build Your Business Better podcast with Andrew Biernat. This episode is entitled Ben Albert, Marketing Genius, talks about influencers, finding your niche, and how he fought against his personal demons by starting his own business. Yep, you guessed it. I am Andrew Biernat's guest on this episode, and it's part one of a two-parter that I did with Andrew for Build Your Business Better. Next week, we will rebroadcast round two. Enjoy this. I encourage you to subscribe to the Rochester Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to Build Your Business Better podcast with Andrew Biernat. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Build Your Business Better podcast, where we talk about the art and science of running a successful business. I'm your host, Andrew Biernat. What's going on, gang? I'm with Ben Albert from Belbert Marketing. He is a marketing genius, and he's also got his own podcast network. And Ben and I just got done recording a podcast for his podcast show, and now he is gracious enough to be on my show. So we're doing a double header today. So I definitely encourage you guys to check out my episode on Ben's podcast. And I guess, Ben, share with us a little bit about your podcast network that you're building.
Well, first off, Andrew, thanks for having me on the show. You're the second person ever to call me a genius. The first was my mom, so I don't know if I'm quite at that level yet. But yeah, I just announced, as of this conversation, I haven't announced it, but I'm about to next week. So when you're listening to this, it just was announced. I have a podcast called Rochester Business Connections, but I also have a lot of interests. So this podcast ended up becoming multiple podcasts where there's Rochester Business Connections. We highlight industry leaders, business people, entrepreneur, anyone kicking butt in the Rochester, Western New York region. Great conversations on business, personal development, anything you can imagine on Rochester Business Connections. That's a show that Andrew was ultimately just on. We just recorded it. We're doing these back to back. But then I decided to expand. I, through mentorship groups and listening to other podcasts, like literally I would listen to a podcast and I'd love it. So I'd get on LinkedIn and literally just message the person and say, hey, I listened to you on this podcast and I loved it. Here's three quick takeaways. And it was just me kind of just being kind. And then I realized, follow-up question, can you come on my show? So then I launched Learn, Speak, Teach, where I could expand outside of Western New York and talk to any kick-ass, amazing person in the United States, in the world, really. So Learn, Speak, Teach is a mentorship business show. It's the exact same show, but it's getting out of the Western New York region throughout the entire world, and I'm going to get huge names on the show. I've got big plans for big names on Learn, Speak, Teach. Then there's 5-Minute Fridays, which again is part of Rochester Business Connections, but it's quick and easy business tips for busy people that want to learn more and be efficient with it. They don't always want to listen to the 30, 45, 60-minute segment. They don't always want to skip around. They want the content. They want actionable insight right off the bat. Boom, let's dive into it. So I started 5-Minute Fridays, where it's actually a blog as well, where I'll post the transcript as a blog post. There's infographics, and I'll post the audio so you can read it, you can look at the graphics, you can skim it, or you could listen to the audio you can read along, you can listen to the audio on the go, but it's quick and efficient business tips. And then there's Ben's Bites. I'm like exhausting myself. And I've only released one. As of this episode, there'll be two episodes of Ben's Bites, but I kind of want to move away from business with some just things that I'm interested in. So I talk about childhood. I'll talk about marketing. I plan on talking about sports a little bit, music. And it's really just journal entries that I take the entry and then I bring it together and I turn it into like a 3 to 5 minute bite. So then there's Ben's Bites that I just launched, and that's just all me. So we've got Rochester Business Connections. We've got Learn, Speak, Teach, the national show. We got 5 Minute Fridays, which is collaborative. I forgot to mention this. I am currently seeking collaborators. I want to do maybe one a month maximum. Every Friday, I want a different voice. I want a different person. I want a different expert in different industries to collaborate. So every Friday, we can get a holistic approach of business and personal development, the whole shabam. So there's that show. Then there's Ben's Bites. There's Rochester Business Connections. There's Learn, Speak, Teach. And then there's podcasts like Andrew's that I listen to, or Normal Lies podcast with Linda Healer, or Time Out with Leaders with Kevin Rustici and Tyler White, or Dear Rochester, Retire Well with Dave Polsini. There's all these great podcasts coming from Rochester, New York. I want to restream them. I want to replay them. I want them to come and be broadcasted to a larger audience. So the final show is Local Hits, where I just replay local hits. I'll probably be on some of those replays, you know, more of me, but I replay some of those local hits. So I have a whole schedule I'm setting up. Check out Rochester Business Connections to get that schedule. But I took Rochester Business Connections, long answer short, I took Rochester Business Connections, I added the word network to it. So it's the Rochester Business Connections Network. And rather one show with all these little bits and pieces, we actually have 5 separate shows on one network. So you can subscribe to one stream and get 5 interconnected shows all in one stream. And honestly, Andrew, I don't know anyone who's doing this. So I think, I guess maybe I am a genius. So we discovered something cool today.
I think so. And when you mentioned the idea to me, I was like, oh my goodness, that's brilliant. Because it works well for everybody, right? It works well for the other podcasters that you're bringing in. It works well for you. You're building a bigger platform. And it works well for all of your audience because they get exposed to different thoughts and different ideas and different thought leaders that can help them grow in their personal or business life. I think that's fantastic. Now, you mentioned the idea that people should contact you if they want to be on like a 5 Minute Friday or maybe even for an interview. What's a great way to contact you, get a hold of you?
Easiest ways, ben@balbertmarketing.com. That's ben@balbertmarketing.com. Or connect with me on LinkedIn. If you don't mind, just put that in the show notes, but it's literally just the linkedin.com/balbertmarketing. I don't know if there's anything fancy in it. I think it's just linkedin.com/balbertmarketing. And dude, I treat LinkedIn like old school Facebook. I treat it like MySpace. I'm like a kid on there, man. I spend all my time on LinkedIn. I respond to all messages, even when they're just canned sales pitches. I respond like, hi, are you a robot? So I will respond. I literally, someone sent me like, are you having these problems? And they listed 7 problems. And if you are having these problems, let me know because I have a solution. And I said, it wasn't Andrew, but I'm like, hi, Andrew, is this a robot responding? Because if this is you sending this message, I have some advice for you. So I like kind of sales pitched him that like, you're doing this the wrong way. Like, I'm okay with you mass messaging me, but do a good job or else I'm going to puke. I'm on a rant. The whole point is that if you message me on LinkedIn, we can connect and I'll start a conversation. So that's probably the best place to go.
Perfect. Now, Ben, you've got a marketing company which bears a striking resemblance to your actual name. And it's odd how that just happened. I want to hear a little bit about your starting story. How did you get started with Balbert Marketing? What was your eureka moment? You know, what's your like, I have to do this?
The start was when one of my good friends said, Ben, no one even calls you Balbert. Nobody even calls you Balbert. So I immediately got rejected from the start. But I was in a very corporate level sales executive role. I was selling marketing products, but I wasn't really as hands-on. But I'm the kind of guy that wants to know everything. I mean, I'm reading a book every morning before, as soon as I get up and as soon as I go to bed, I'm reading. I'm listening to podcasts all the time. I'm watching like YouTube how-to videos as I eat my lunch. Like if anything, I need to slow down a little bit sometimes. So when I was furloughed from this, you know, role, and they work actually, I love, great company. They were paying health insurance. They were going to bring me back on. It was completely temporary. It was during COVID, but it wasn't a good fit for me. And I had hosted a music podcast for 4+ years, booked bands, promotion for bands. I had been learning all the how-tos of business on the side. So during this furlough, first happened is I ended up drinking too much and basically fell on my face and had a state of depression. Then I found hiking, something that I honestly hadn't done in years, but I started climbing mountains and stuff and getting outside. And I started to realize that this stressful role that honestly Monday mornings, I'm not even prescribed, come arrest me, I would have half a Xanax some Monday mornings because I was so stressed at work. And I would drink on the weekends and I'd show up for work and I'd eat half a Xanax just to like relax. And it was terrible. So this COVID's, it's like a COVID success story, right? Because a lot of people have really struggled during COVID and it hasn't been easy on a lot of even family members of mine. But I was lucky enough to have this, oh my God, moment where I was like, I'm not happy in this role. It has nothing to do with the company. It has to do with me. It's just not a good fit. Let's start a marketing company, taking all that I've learned in sales and marketing, all that I've learned in personal development, podcasting. Let's just bring it all together. Let's start a podcast called Rochester Business Connections. That was my taking off point. I basically got a client out of the blue, then formed an LLC because I needed to bill them somehow. So I guess I didn't have to get an LLC to bill them, but I got a client. Then I started the business. Then I started the podcast. I had no plan, but I knew that by starting a business podcast, I'd have a great opportunity to meet kick-ass people like Andrew. And the rest is history, I guess. I forget what you even asked, but my start was completely accidental, and it came from a place of sadness and needing to do something better. And luckily the pieces just sort of fell into place, and I don't even know if they're in place or not, but we'll see long term.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because honestly it sounds very similar to my story, which I got to share a little bit on your podcast. The idea of just being in a dark place, you know, substance abuse, hating going into work, and just like feeling this like this dread of, you know, your work, you know, which takes up a significant portion of our lives, this job that we have, or sometimes multiple jobs depending on the person. And so I guess looking at how you've launched your business now, where do you see yourself headed? Do you see yourself just kind of being a solopreneur? Do you want to grow this into a giant marketing behemoth? Do you have a vision or a goal of what type of company you want to build?
Yeah. So I like being a solopreneur, I think, and this is not brand advice for all businesses. It doesn't work in all cases, but my company is called Balbert Marketing. I do the sales, I do the customer service, I do the fulfillment. When you call me, it's not answered by a telephone answering service outsourced to the Philippines, or no disrespect to other countries, but my customer service, my sales, my fulfillment is all me. So it's hands-on, it's boutique, you know, I'm not the cheapest in the world because you get me basically 24/7. There's not just like an intern answering calls, and that system works. So I've never actually talked about this publicly. It's just kind of a half-baked idea. Where I want to go with my business is I want to empower solopreneurs to maybe start a podcast, start networking, maybe start a marketing company on the side, and they can name it whatever they want. They can name it, you know, Beer Nat Marketing, however you want to do it. And then I want to build a fulfillment center where Andrew can own a marketing company, but not handle all of the fulfillment of the marketing. So he would do sales, he would do billing, he'd do customer service, but then Balbert would white label our services to these solopreneurs. So they can do what they do best, meet people, network, strategize, but they wouldn't have to build the website. They wouldn't have to be doing the technical stuff. Because I think there's a lot of hungry people that could be very successful on their own, but the most exhausting thing for me is the fulfillment. So I want to create a Balbert Marketing Fulfillment Center where I can, it's almost like franchise out my team to all these smaller marketing companies that can be solopreneurs, or I mean, honestly, if it grows big enough, maybe we'll have 10,000 people, but I'd need to take a couple leadership classes if I'm going to have that big of a team. So,
oh yeah, I know that feeling. As soon as you start opening up that can, it's like, wow, I got a long way to go. But at the same time, you know, we're in a spot now where it's like, you've still got what's in front of you. You know, right now it's just Ben, you know, for me right now, it's just me, you know? And so we've got our own challenges and opportunities within that. You talked a little bit about the idea of like networking, of sales, of growing a business. I guess, talk to me about how you go about networking. How do you grow as a networker? And as a, actually as a side note for this question, Ben and I met through networking. So I met with a friend of mine when I was starting my business, and she's like, hey, you need to talk to this guy, Ben. He's awesome. You guys are on the same wavelength. Like, you would get along so well. And I'm like, awesome. Thank you. You know, reached out, and we did. We hit it off from day one. But I guess, what is your method for networking? And I guess, how do you think people go about networking wrong, and what should they do?
In terms of wrong, I feel like people go in with a selfish mindset. How can I figure out exactly how to utilize this networking opportunity for a referral agreement where they're recommending me, but we don't even know each other? And I could be like, I don't want to recommend someone that I don't know that they do good work. I want to recommend someone that I have a relationship with. So I think a lot of people go into networking trying to figure out what's in it for me. And I think even great networkers that have good businesses, work for great businesses, are amazing people. The other issue is people don't always ask for additional help. So the two things I always focus on is, how can I collaborate with this person? How can I help them? How can I put value on their plate well before I ask for anything, whether that's giving them a free tip, making them a gift, giving recommendations without them asking, introducing them to people. And then the second thing I look at, and I come from a sales background, I hate the word referrals. People just know the word referrals. Most salespeople are really bad at asking for referrals. What I do in networking and at podcasting is I use the word recommendation, connection, or nomination. I actually stole the word nomination from Kevin Rustici, Time Out with Leaders podcast. But I say, Andrew, for the podcast, I would say, Andrew, who can you nominate for my show? Because obviously, I mean, you just did my show. It's incredible. Like, in this case, it's like super genuine. It couldn't be more genuine. Like, you kicked ass. People should go listen to that episode. Andrew, you kick ass. So a great way to vet guests is to get nominations from previous guests. So I ask for nominations. When I'm networking, I ask for connections. I ask for recommendations. I know what I need in terms of my business and my connections and who I can help and who can help me. So I have an agenda, but the agenda is to come in from a genuine place, figure out how I can help them, actually help them, know what I want. So if they ask, I have an answer for what I need and what I want. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, ask for the nomination, ask for the connection, ask. A very good example is a friend of mine hosts a podcast. If I see someone super awesome on their podcast, I'll literally be like, hey, Andrew, I want to meet this person. I listened to the episode twice. I'm not like blowing smoke. This is where I start to ramble. But at the end of the day, it's like, be genuine, but be systematic at the same time. Have a balance. Don't just go in blank with a bunch of business cards. I do not want your business card. That's just me personally. Ask another question because I'm rambling, brother.
No, you're doing fantastic. So I look at networking very similar, right? It's an opportunity to be genuine, to be generous, to be a connector, and to be of help. And I think most people that are going into networking come into it with some false beliefs. They come in feeling like they're there to take, and they're very afraid to take because they know what it feels like. And so they're like, there's this like really awkward dance of like, I'm not trying to take, but I need something, you know? Whereas if you just come in and you just try and be useful and try and be helpful, try to make a great connection, you know, make a friend, you know, that leads to other things. And I think this is worth exploring too, is how does networking then lead to sales? Because that's the $1 million question. That's what a business is, right? You don't have a business based on your network. You have a business based on the sales that you have coming in. And so how do you take someone from, hey, I just met you at this networking event, to building that relationship to a point where it's okay to start a sales conversation? I guess kind of walk me through your take on that.
Yes. And you said I was a genius. I'm not a genius. A lot of the stuff I'm going to say today is observational data and experience. So I'm still workshopping and trying to figure this stuff out too, right? I haven't wrote a book on it. I'm sure someone has, but you're learning more every day, right? So my thought process is, first off, we know people want to buy from people they know, like, and trust. There's always going to be, you know who Jordan Belfort is, the Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great example of the swing of it, right? You cold call somebody, you have great tonality, you have good word tracks, and in 20 minutes, you get them to buy a high-ticket product that they end up regretting and end up trying to canceling. But if you got enough money in the door and you have agreements where they can't get the money back, you just won. And I'm not saying Jordan Belfort does that. He definitely did in the Wolf of Wall Street days, right?
Yeah.
But that is common, and it quote unquote works. But as a business owner and as someone with pride and value and wants to build a book of business and a book of relationships that I can take with me the rest of my life and I can sleep at night knowing that I'm doing good work, I only want to work with people that I know, like, and trust, and I want people to know, like, and trust me. I want to do the swing of things. So even if I'm not in business with someone, I like to give them a client-like experience. So let's say we have a podcast. I'm going to have all my systems in line that the podcast experience, you're going to be at ease, it's going to be mellow, it's going to be calm, you're going to feel good about it. Afterwards, I'll send you a list of all the links in that email. I'll thank you for your time. I'll give you a virtual gift. My team makes cartoons for people, so I'll give a virtual gift. I'll give them cover art. I'll thank them. I'll share their knowledge with other people. That is a business-esque experience where, I don't know if you're in marketing, real estate, personal development coach, fitness, it doesn't really matter. If you can, through networking, give people a business-esque experience, I've never used this term, but I guess I'm going to start using it, a business-esque experience, you're almost taking them through an experience of what it would be like to work with you. So you don't have to work with someone to give them value. I'm not telling people to disrespect their own time and not value themselves enough to know when to charge. If you're a consultant and you're giving people 5 straight free strategy sessions and they're all an hour long, maybe you should be charging for that service. But if you do a consultation call and your process of booking the call, asking the right questions, following up, touch points, if that's good, this is like really high level marketing, in my opinion, Andrew. They start coming to you and calling you or recommending their friends to you because you never actually sales pitched them. You literally took them through an experience rather than telling them what it would be like to work with you. You just start working with them. And if it's the right fit, this is very woo woo, but if the stars align, you guys form a relationship together. And that, in theory, could be a client for life if you do good-ass work. So, wow, man, this is some heady stuff
we've got
here today.
Dude.
Do you think I just lost anybody?
No, I hope not. And we can summarize, right? Is you build the relationship in such a way that for free, in some way, you are providing value. They enjoy the value. They enjoy you. And then they get to a point where they're like, man, I want more of this value. And you say, oh, okay, well, here's how you get it. You know, and it becomes a very simple conversation of, okay, you're getting great value. You would like more value. And here's the price list. Here's what we can do. It's not super complicated. You know, I'm a professional, you're a professional, you're looking to get a certain result, I can deliver that, you know? And so you are a purveyor of that result, and you get to that point by building a relationship and by letting that relationship kind of naturally flow into just genuine help, genuine interest. And I think that's where a lot of people start to get freaked out with sales, is they're like, well, I got to go into sales mode. You know what I mean? Like, I got to sell. And
clap your hand before you talk, take a deep breath before you answer the phone, start punching the air or something.
Yeah, you know, like, okay, here we go. You know, and it's like, you know, if you're having to get that hyped about it, that energy is going to come off. That like negative vibe, people feel that. People sense that. They can see it in your body language. They can smell it on your breath, and they can hear it in the tone of your voice. And all of that is going to carry through, and it's going to convince them that like something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong at a deep level, because either they don't believe that their product or service is worth the value they're about to ask for, or in some way they feel like they're trying to take advantage of me. Right? And that for smart people scares most of the smart ones away. And really, you want to work with smart people, because smart people are fun to work with. They're interesting. They're dynamic. They're unique. Right? And so those type of people are going to be your best customers, right? Because they're going to care about the service that you offer. They're not going to complain and nitpick about all the tiny little stuff that maybe didn't quite happen exactly as they saw it. They're going to see some of that bigger picture. They're going to enjoy the value that they got, and they're going to buy again. Now, looking at marketing as a whole, looking at a kind of a bigger view, if we can even go bigger, right? We've gone 10,000 feet already. So looking at marketing from space, right? The idea of being able to put your product or service in front of people in such a way that you can either drive sales, build brand, whatever it is that you're trying to do. What do you see as like an upcoming trend in the marketing field, or what's something that you would recommend people be aware of or be looking out for in the months and years ahead?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the biggest trend is, especially with the younger generation, everyone wants to be an influencer. Literally everyone wants to be an influencer, and I'm not on TikTok. I'm starting to think I need to get on TikTok to use it for my clients. But at the end of the day, like, people are going on TikTok, Instagram, they're gaining a lot of shallow recognition. It doesn't always, you know, lead to business results, but they get a lot of views, a lot of likes, and everyone wants to be popular and everyone wants to be an influencer. So I think the trend is personal branding as a whole. So you want to have a product and service. You want to be an expert. You don't want to cut corners. If you put out a TikTok video and it's trendy and it's fun, and then that brings that person into your pipeline, but you don't know what you're talking about and you don't have a product, you're screwed. So you want to, let's get rid of the word influencer and just talk about personal branding. I think the biggest trend is personal branding. Because we go through waves, right? There was a time where you bought from the milkman who would literally take the milk to your doorstep. You bought from the people in your area, right? Then the time came in like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s where cold calling was huge. And like people would cold call and sell like crazy. And I think a lot of people got burned and a lot of people got, you know, just beat up. And we're being pitched every day. Everybody's got a logo on their shirt. The TV's got a bunch of advertisements. You need to pay to get rid of advertisements if you have Hulu or YouTube or anything like that. So people have a million options. If they're making an empowered decision that isn't emotional and on the spot, they're going to make a decision that has a lot of research and backing and numbness to salespeople. They're going to make a decision based on a personal brand. They're going to buy from someone that they recognize as an influential person, as a genius. So everyone wants to be an influencer, but my caveat is if you become an influencer, you need to actually be influential. Like, you can't just try to be popular for popularity's sake. Personal branding and mastering your craft, no matter what industry you're in, is how you're going to kick ass. And to really digress and get even higher level, let's say you're an accountant and you don't need a personal brand for your accounting role. What happens when you align with a charity, there's a sponsoring event, your best friend has something that they need? If you're building a personal brand and you're highlighting your role and your gifts to the world, when those opportunities exist, you can capitalize on that personal brand. You don't need to personally brand yourself just because you're a business owner or as a salesperson. If you have a gift, you should start sharing it immediately, and you can capitalize in so many different ways long term by building that personal brand. And everyone should start like 5 weeks ago. So the next best time is now, right?
Absolutely right. And you bring up a really interesting idea, the idea of, you know, yes, you can become an influencer, but then what? You know, okay, right. You got some views, you got some hits, you got a couple likes, you got some people following you. Okay, now you're just going to produce more, and then what? Then where's the end game? And I feel like one thing that's worth talking about too is the idea of traffic that you do not control and traffic that you do control. And when it comes to another platform, that is traffic that is owned by somebody else, right? Facebook owns that. TikTok owns that. Google owns that. They have that traffic and they can choose how that gets distributed. And you look at the early days of Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. You could post promotional stuff and it would just automatically just show up all over people's Facebook feeds. Now, if you post something remotely promotional, it gets bumped down to the very bottom of people's feeds. And then Facebook says, hey, you got 6 views on that. Would you like to promote it and give me a couple dollars for it? You know? And so all of a sudden, your influence on that platform has been demolished, has been monetized by that company because they've kind of gotten a feel for how it works. And what used to be free, what used to be simple, what used to be rolling in money, now all of a sudden changes because you didn't control your traffic flow. You didn't have ownership of your audience. So I guess looking at ownership of an audience and actually capturing these people and being able to take them with you wherever you are, what do you think is the best way to do that?
Answer your question on the owning traffic thing. And again, this is another way up in the sky idea. But a lot of people set up a Linktree account. And what that does is it's an easy, simple hub where you can paste all your links, anything relevant to you, all in one spot. The only issue with that, it's efficient, it's easy, it's a great user experience. The only issue with that is Linktree capitalizes on all that goodwill. Linktree gets all that traffic. Linktree gets all that domain authority. Linktree gets all those users on their account. So I guess this is a sales pitch. I don't have a price for it. I could help people out. Even if it's start a one page, no words, just link straight to the point website, buy a domain name, buy hosting for $399 or whatever Bluehost special is available now, invest your $40, $50 a year and create a Linktree page under your domain. Even if you don't have anything else to put on it, a bio, services, create a Linktree page on your domain. So all that goodwill and all that traffic goes to andrewbeernat.com, not link.tree/andrewbeernat. So my first piece of advice is even if it's a quick, easy template, you can get a quick Squarespace, Wix template. You can have me create one for you. Start a website. So when you have that link in bio link, send it to your website. So if you start a business 3 years later, you have 3 years of traffic, 3 years of goodwill, 3 years of domain authority. Simply put, domain authority is good. You want the most of that marketing term. What was the second part of the question?
Oh, goodness.
Ways to...
Oh, yeah. You had two parts. One was a Linktree idea. A lot of times people mention email or like, what are other ways you can capture your audience?
That's the other one. You need to start an email list. And this is the most annoying, old-fashioned way imaginable. But the email list is yours. you own the email list. Even if you only send out a quarterly annual email, that is yours. Facebook owns all your content. LinkedIn, the email list is yours. Build those relationships, even if there's 5-10 people on it. You don't have to use MailChimp or Constant Contact for your emails. Build a list of emails. It can be in a spreadsheet. It can be in a CRM, and keep in touch with those people on a one-to-one basis. That's something that no one can suppress your email list. So start capturing emails, even if it's just asking them for it. You don't need a capture form. Start building an email list and start putting content on a domain you own. Thanks for the refresher. You literally guessed what I was going to say.
There's some basics in marketing, I feel like, that get preached a lot. And I was curious what your thoughts were.
Andrew, I really am not a marketing genius. I don't know every nook and cranny, but I triple down on the basics, and that's how I'm successful, and that's how my clients are successful. Not trying to do everything, but doubling and tripling down on what you're good at is all you really need to do to at least get to a higher level, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, right? As you figured out your business niche, right? You try and serve those people that are looking to get from here to here, right? I'm trying to get from point A, point B, and it's just going to make my business that much better, right? You want to do like the whole big grand shebang with like this gigantic marketing company. That's from point like D to point K. You know what I mean? Like it's a little farther than what I do. And I think it's important that you understand your lane, though. You understand who you work with. And we'll kind of wrap up this episode with this question. The idea of kind of a niche, or those exact people that you serve, how do you find that niche, and how do you speak their language? How do you connect with them?
So finding a niche is complicated. I don't even know the best way to answer it, because it is business to business specific. Mm-hmm. I personally like to have what I call kind of a lifestyle business. I work 60 plus hours a week, every week, but not a moment of it feels like work, because I have so much fun doing it and I work with great people and it's incredible. And so I don't want to work with assholes. I don't want to work with difficult people. I don't want to work with people that I'm not aligned with on a value sense. So my niche is I want to work with people where I'm on the same wavelength, and I'll vet, and I won't work with a customer if I think it's going to be a bad relationship. So I've niched down to personality types. I am a generalist. I look at the big picture stuff. So I recommend in most cases become a specialist, get incredibly good at one specific thing. And then that's, you can boutique pricing, like become a specialist is the good advice. What I did is I decided to be a generalist and work with all sorts of businesses, but I niche down to a personality type where I want to work with someone who's hungry to grow their business, understands the financial risk, understands that marketing doesn't fix everything overnight, and looks at that long-term mindset. And then we can strategize and build your business and grow it from there. So I'm the worst person to ask this question to, because the correct answer is specialize, do original research, figure out what your market needs, figure out what's not offered in your market, figure out how you can do things differently. Those are good advice. I niche down so tight that I'm figuring out who I want to work with, because I know that that's the best way for me to feel happy in my business. Don't take that advice if it sounds complicated.
I think that's actually perfect advice. As you kind of talked about, you do a lot as far as, you know, what you do within your business, but you work with very specific people, which is still a niche. It's a niche based on personality, based on mindset, and based on the way that they view things. You're very selective in your customers. And honestly, people who are very selective in their customer base, they have a niche. That is their niche, that particular customer base. They speak language that is very particular. They think certain ways. They expect certain things. They want certain things. And I think all of that plays into your joy in business. Because I think everybody, whether they've worked for somebody else or worked on their own, everybody's had experiences where they had clients or customers they could not stand. They couldn't wait until they were no longer a customer, right? They just make life miserable, right? Every deadline is missed, or everything gets blown up, or people just complain and they don't do what they're supposed to. And it's just, it becomes a nightmare for everyone. And they get a bad experience, not because you weren't delivering, but because they created a bad experience, right? And so by finding those right customers, by creating that proper niche, you get to serve them well. They get to have that great experience, and that builds your brand and that builds theirs as well. So Ben, we are running out of time today, but what we mentioned earlier was we may do a two-parter. We may do a second episode coming up. Does that sound good, Ben?
Yeah, I'm long-winded, so you're going to need me for two.
I love that. So we're gonna cut this one here. What I want you to do, Ben, if you could just kind of tell us just briefly again, your name, your company, how people can reach you, and any next steps that they should take.
Yeah, Ben Albert, company name's BalbertMarketing.com. I do work with anybody in the world, you know, preferably in the nation, because I don't understand exchange rates very well. But I do work with a lot of Rochester businesses, so you can find me at 585marketing.com. That's 585marketing.com. Or you can find my podcast, Rochester Business Connections Network, the whole podcast network now, right? I got to get used to saying it that way. That's RochesterNYPodcast.com. So if you're noticing anything, I love domain names, and I'm apparently the only person that knows to look them up. You can get the podcast at RochesterNYPodcast.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn if you have a question, because I love having conversations with great people. So
perfect. Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Build Your Business Better podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you'll be notified every Thursday when a new episode drops.
Oh, hey, you're still here. Thanks for listening. If you need to take off, that's quite all right. I do have something brand new and exclusive to share. If you believe more hands-on training, peer accountability, and direct access to some of our guests from this very show would be a helpful addition to the podcast, do me a favor and head over to growgettersonly.com. That's grow, G-R-O-W, getters, G-E-T-T-E-R-S, only. growgettersonly.com. Here you can unlock instant access to exclusive high-level mentors, training, networking, accountability, and hot seat coaching alongside fellow growth-obsessed entrepreneurs and business professionals just like yourself. All for, guess what? $1. That's right, $1 for 30 days. What's a grow-getter? In short, a growth-focused individual, especially in the business realm, who combines the relentless energy of a go-getter with a constant pursuit of self-improvement and collaboration. Is that you? Head to growgettersonly.com for some community support. This is not for you if you're looking for a quick fix rather than long-term growth. Collaboration and learning from others just doesn't seem to appeal to you. You're not ready to be part of a community that relentlessly pushes boundaries. Complacency is your comfort zone. It's not for you. If it is for you, and if you didn't turn this off yet, I do presume you're a grow-getter. And I'd love to invite you to join my new collective, Grow-Getters Only. Basically, cost to check it out, $1 for a month. It's basically free. Everything is over at growgettersonly.com. Just like I said, growgettersonly.com. Oh yeah, and one last thing. We do put on free events as well if you can't afford the dollar. Jokes aside, I'll see you on the inside. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you.